What's up everyone, this is Dariusz Kalbarczyk, co-founder of MG Poland, JS Poland, AngularMaster.dev and WorkshopFest.dev. Welcome back to the AngularMaster podcast. Today, together with Manfred Steyer, who is an excellent speaker, trainer, consultant and author, we focus on Angular, we'll talk about signals. Hi Manfred, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Good to be here.
What has changed in your life since our last recording?
Well, not that much, honestly. I'm still doing Angular. I'm still excited about new innovations in the area of Angular. And currently, we really have a lot of innovations, like signals, which is the topic of today. But I'm still really fond of standalone stuff, standalone components, standalone APIs. It really feels right. If you try it out, if you start working with it, it really feels right. And besides this, I'm at conferences again, because the pandemic is not that a huge topic anymore. We can travel again. And so I visited some conferences in the last months, and I'm really looking forward to visit you all in Poland this fall at NG Poland.
Angular 16 introduced a developer preview of signals. What are they about?
Well, it's a quite simple reactive building block. It allows you to implement reactive stuff that does something when a value changes. And as it is really simple, you don't need to learn a lot of things. So compared to RxJS, you don't need to learn about all those operators. And on the other side, it seems like it's good enough for the majority of use cases. But as we will discuss a bit later, you can also bring RxJS in if you find a use case where you need the power of all those operators found in RxJS. So basically, if you think about a signal, it is just an object that holds a value. You can set and get this value. So in this sense, it's like a variable, but also you can get notified when the value changes. And this is what everything makes more reactive. And one goal of this is to allow for a more fine-grained change detection.
Why are signals a benefit?
Yeah, good question. Why do we need this? Well, one reason is for sure to get a more fine-grained change detection. Currently, Angular works on a component level. Currently, Angular always does change detection on a component level. That means at least one component plus all its parents or its ancestors are checked for changes. And this is very often good enough. But in cases where you need better performance, where you have a lot of little tiny changes, we can do better. And this is something Signal allows us to do, because a Signal allows us eventually, not in Angular 16 as I think, but eventually they allow us to do change detection on a few level. A few is something, for instance, within a structural directive, within an if or an for, or perhaps you want to implement something like an ng-let directive by yourself. And then the contents of this can be dirty checked, or not dirty checked is not the right term here, can be updated if something changed. So it's a bit more fine-grained, and we don't need to check all the parents. This is one of the benefits. Another benefit is, as mentioned before, it provides for a real simple reactivity model. So you only have a handful of building blocks. You have writable signals, you have read-only signals, you have computed signals, signals that are computed out of other values, out of other signals, like a pipe in Angular. By the way, similar to a pipe, they are memorized. So this also increases the performance. Plus we have side effects, or to be more precise, they call it effects. An effect is basically a function that is re-executed when one of the used signals in there changes. And that's it. So it's just a handful of building blocks. And so we get a very simple but effective reactivity model. It's far more simple than RxJS. However, if you love RxJS and if you need the power of RxJS, then you can still combine both of them, both those concept signals and Rx. And another benefit is this all allows us eventually, not in Angular 16, but eventually to go zoneless. You know, zone.js is one of those dependencies we have since the beginning. And yeah, it works quite well, but there's also some room for improvement. Zone.js takes about 100 kilobytes, and it is monkey batching all the objects in the browser, and somehow it works in a quite magic way. And that's why people are thinking for years about how can we get rid of it, how can we make it optional. And yeah, signals will allow us to do this if we want to go that way. Saying this, we don't need to rewrite our source code. I think the Angular team has proven in the last years that they really have a focus on backwards compatibility. You just have to look at standalone stuff, with standalone components and APIs. It's fully back and forward compatible. Standalone components work with modules, and modules work with standalone components. And we will get the same thing for signals. We can combine them with traditional code. We can just keep our traditional code. And for new projects, we can go all in with signals. And by the way, there is another nice aspect of signals. They are auto-closing. That means we don't need to unsubscribe from them. They are unsubscribed automatically. And so we cannot get any memory leaks, which is also quite a nice characteristic of this.
What does it look like to work with signals?
Well, it's actually quite easy. You just wrap up your values you want to data bind into signals. That means instead of going with a number, you get a signal of number. And then you need to use the getters and setters of the signal. That means you cannot directly assign a value. You use a set function to modify the contents, and the get function is just about appending parentheses. And that's it, more or less. So it's really simple. The template becomes a consumer of the signal, and so the template will find out if it needs to be re-rendered, or Angular will find out if the template needs to be re-rendered. One thing we need to get used to is really using those setters and getters with all those parentheses functions have, but you know, we are all creatures of habit. I think if we work with this for 2 or 3 days, we will get used to it, and then it will feel quite natural, I suppose.
What does the future hold for RxJS?
Well, that's a good question. So RxJS is not going away. If you love RxJS, you can stick with it. And indirectly, RxJS even gets better support by Angular because of signals. Because the thing is, we can convert signals to observables and vice versa. And so all the goodness that is introduced into the core of Angular also improves the RxJS story. Because we can also convert signals to RxJS, we can use the power of RxJS, all those operators like debouncing and switch map and so on and so forth. That means if we have a use case that really needs this power, we are not lost. We can just leverage existing knowledge. And if you are an advocate for RxJS, if you love RxJS, if you dream in streams, then you can also go all in with RxJS and get some benefits of this better integration.
Will we need state management in the future?
Yeah, I think state management will even become a bit more important. The important thing is, signals are a low-level building block. They even work without state management. You can use them directly. However, if you go with state management, global state management, or either local one, you get some benefits. If we look into other frameworks that already have signals, we clearly see they all come with their little tiny local store implementations that allow us to convert a data structure with traditional data, like an object with arrays and further objects, into a data structure with signals. We can easily data bind a data structure with signals that allow us to do this fine grain change detection. So it's a bit like now with selectors. With selectors, we can also transform our normalized data structures into a structure we need for this or that use case. And this is something we will do in the future also with modern store implementations, but then those data structures for this or that use case will leverage signals, and so they allow for this fine-grained change detection. The interesting thing here is that the Angular team is already talking to all the major vendors of state management solutions, and all of them have already announced that they are working on signals. There are also several CFPs for working with signals. For instance, the RxJS team will directly add signal support to their libraries, but they also plan to implement a new so-called signal store. Also, RxAngular and NGXS have announced that they are working on signals. So yeah, I think that we will get support for signals for free in the existing state management solutions.
Will you address this topic in our video course? When can participants expect it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will address all those topics and also other new features like standalone components, like standalone APIs, writing custom standalone APIs, working together with Rx and state management when we come back to signals. Also other new innovations like functional interceptors and guards. So we will look into all of this because all of this allows us to make our architectures, our Angular architectures, more lightweight. They don't take away possibilities. We have the same feature set. Perhaps we even have more possibilities, but also they make everything more lightweight. It feels really right to use those building blocks to implement your architecture.
It sounds very good. I am already looking forward to it.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. Exciting times. I really love to work on all of this because, yeah, it's new stuff and it's really fun to get your hands dirty with this. So thanks for having me. It was a pleasure as always. And yeah, see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.